And now it's time for the Wild Side News with your host, Sydney Wildsmith.
The Chinese are quickly accommodating to becoming master consumers as people in the hills of West Virginia watch their mountains lopped off to power the power plants that keep the big machine rolling. American economists fear there may not be enough younger generation to take care of the burgeoning older generation. Some stand in the midst of it all, look around and wonder, which way do we go to the future? We'll head off to find out when your Voice of the Earth continues here on the Wild Side News.
Welcome back to the Wild Side News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
Mid-December 2006. Another Christmas, or Hanukkah, or Kwanzaa, to wrap up the gift of life, of which we're all recipients. We'll save the final wrap-up for another show. But 2007 is about to birth. And as with any growing being, we, who now refer to ourselves as a global community, need to learn from our past to direct our future course. Today we present A Tale of Two Directions. And as any wise being knows, you simply cannot go in two directions at once. And yet, that is what's being expected of all of us. Is there a clear-cut answer? That is the critical question, perhaps, of our age. For as we live to be free and die for the right of people to choose according to their free will, or at least to be led by those who capture the majority, no matter how small, there is, within the will to live free or die, too free a will to die, not because we will it, but because we will not use the wisdom upon which life itself has come to be. We start our show with a celebration of great wonder as we travel to Yosemite National Park and learn about an 80-year-old holiday tradition of feasting and singing in peace on earth, goodwill towards men, women, and children. Then in segments 2 and 3, we visit the paradox that opened this show, Which Way to the Future, as we hear the arguments of the emerging birth-dearth debate. Some will say we are suffering the effects of overpopulation that so many feel in our everyday lives, and yet others are saying we need more people to keep our societies intact. So which way is the future? We'll head on off to find out following the news. So first, the news. People on planet Earth, and that means most of us, are under global attack by our sun. As the 12-year solar cycle accelerates into a period of increased activity, Wednesday's gigantic solar flare has put many agencies, power companies, and communications networks on high alert. Beginning midday today, Thursday, the Earth will be in for a powerful geomagnetic storm, which can affect radio communications, satellites, and power grids, which could experience potential damage or interruptions. The upside of these celestial events is that those in the Northern Hemisphere may witness some spectacular northern lights. Solar flares send radiation to Earth within minutes of the eruption. Some are accompanied by coronal mass ejections, clouds of charged particles that arrive in a day or two. This flare has a strong coronal mass ejection component that is headed our way. Known as sunspot number 930, this may be the beginning of a long stretch of such occurrences which could present new challenges to an already challenged world. In Idaho Wednesday, residents were yelling, "Ducks!" Over 1,000 ducks already have been discovered, dead and in an area about 180 miles south of Boise. The animals are scattered over quite a large area. State wildlife biologists and the U.S. Department of Homeland Security are investigating, as they are not ruling out any possible causes. The ducks appear to be dying from a combination of lesions in the lungs and hemorrhaging of the heart wall, which indicates a bacterial infection. However, this is not an indicator of avian flu. The sudden outbreak puzzles scientists as it affects mallard ducks exclusively. Eagles, geese, crows, and other birds in the area show no signs of distress. At this time, suspected causes include pesticide poisoning from a nearby feedlot or farming chemicals that may have contaminated a creek where many of the dead and dying birds are found. The devastation of the Ebola virus is not limited to human populations, as it is now being blamed for a massive die-off of gorillas in Central and Western Africa. Fully 90% of all gorillas in the path of the spreading infection die. Moving at the rate of 31 miles per year, the future of the gorilla populations looks bleak, as most of the area's gorillas live within a range of 124 miles of the current outbreak. Ebola has already affected two of the greatest gorilla preserves and three of the four secondary reserves. Ape species that were abundant and widely distributed a decade ago are rapidly being reduced to tiny remnant populations. The hope that an effective vaccine may be developed in time holds a glimmer of promise that the world's gorillas may have any chance of survival at all. This emerging crisis reduces the window of opportunity to save these amazing creatures to a pinhole. With all the challenges facing not only we humans, but our fellow travelers on this little tiny insignificant speck of dust in the vast, unfathomable vastness of our universe, actor and activist Leonardo DiCaprio is inviting every single person to apply their greatest wisdom to come up with answers for the global warming crisis. If you have an answer, go to globalgreen.org and become part of the solution. And that's the news. And a reminder, while you're thinking about how to stop global warming for Leonardo DiCaprio, send off some of your solutions to the Wildside News. We'll share them with the world. As the great spirit of this, our most festive holiday season, draws near, we now head on up to one of America's grandest national parks as they launch a series of historic celebrations in a most glorious way. All of us are blessed to have as part of our legacy the National Park Service and the National Park System, actually, which we find in every state in the country, a representative of the national parks. And the national parks serve many, many purposes. Obviously, they're treasures of our natural legacy and as well historic legacy. Many of these parks go way back. There's a wealth of historic architecture and buildings make up the history of parks. And these buildings are maintained and become landmarks that we all appreciate. One of the legendary landmarks in the national park system is the Ahwahnee, which is in Yosemite National Park. And they have every winter, this time of the year, a special celebration that we're going to find out a lot more about. And to help us understand that is Kenny Karst, who works with the Ahwahnee. Kenny, welcome to the Wildside News.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be on the program.
First of all, talk about the Ahwahnee, what it is, how it came to be. Let's start with that.
The Ahwahnee is Yosemite's crown jewel from a property standpoint. Most people think of Yosemite National Park and its magnificent granite domes, waterfalls, and wildlife. The Ahwahnee stands today, actually, thanks to Stephen Mather, who was the first director of the National Park Service. And following the creation of the National Park Service in 1916, Mather embarked on an aggressive campaign to increase support and funding for national parks. Well, Yosemite was Mather's favorite of the national parks, and he sought to upgrade the park's concession operations and accommodations. So in 1925, he ordered the new park concessionaire at the time, Yosemite Park and Curry Company, to build a first-class hotel that would be open year-round to attract people of influence, predominantly from the San Francisco Bay Area, because that was the park's area sphere of influence, if you will. So a gentleman by the name of Gilbert Stanley Underwood was chosen as the architect for Yosemite's new luxury hotel, and was actually built within 1 year, which is astounding when you think about it. The hotel was slated to be three times the actual size that it turned out, but it was able to be constructed totally in 1 year. And today stands almost exactly as it did when it was first finished in 1927, almost 80 years ago.
Give us a visual of the Ahwahnee as it is today and some of the features that make it so unique.
Underwood's original design showed an impressive building consisting of a central tower, 7 stories high with 3 extending wings. The north wing contains an entry lobby, a bar area. The concierge is located there. The south wing contains the great lounge and 2 stories of meeting rooms. And the west wing contains the enormous dining room, which floor to ceiling is 53 feet in height. It's
wow.
Truly magnificent. And then there are 124 guest rooms overall on the property, 99 of which are located in the main structure of the hotel. A year later, in 1928, Underwood and his associates constructed 24 cottages. So all told, there are 123 guest rooms.
Fabulous. Well, it's a landmark location for people visiting the parks. There's many ways to visit a park. Some people bring a sleeping bag. Some people sleep in the back of their car and RVs and every other form. But as well, for those who wish to really make a holiday of it, there are these extraordinary places like the Ahwahnee to really enjoy life in a 4-star hotel.
Indeed, and you know, a lot of people actually combine all of those ideas. It's not uncommon for someone to go backpacking in Yosemite and experience the great outdoors, and then as they arrive back in Yosemite Valley, spend the last night or two of their vacation at the Ahwahnee, so they're really able to enjoy all of the splendor that the park has to offer.
That's a great mix. I like that. That sounds like a lot of fun. The Ahwahnee at this point is now run as a concession. It's a standard in the park system. It's run by a corporation whose job it is to really maintain the facility and provide first-class accommodations and services. Talk to us a little bit about who's in charge of running the Ahwahnee at this point.
It's Delaware North Companies. DNC Parks and Resorts at Yosemite is a subsidiary of the Buffalo, New York-based Delaware North Companies, which is a leading hospitality provider with significant experience in hotel, retail, food service, recreation, and even transportation operations. Yosemite is one of multiple properties within its parks and resorts portfolio. Just briefly, a couple of other properties, and this may surprise some of your listeners, in addition to other national parks that we run concessions in, like Yellowstone, Sequoia, Grand Canyon, we also are the concessionaire for the Kennedy Space Center in Florida and multiple other places, the U.S. Mint, Denver, Asilomar Conference Grounds in the Monterey Peninsula, and on and on. We have had the contract with the National Park Service to run the concessions in Yosemite since 1993. That contract is up for renewal in October of 2011. We have every expectation that it will be renewed with us. We've instituted a lot of very unique programs. When we became the manager of the visitor services in Yosemite in 1993, we quickly became known in the industry for innovative environmental practices and management style. And we developed and implemented a comprehensive, award-winning environmental management program called GreenPath, which has earned registration through the International Organization for Standardization. Many people may know that acronym, ISO, for all Delaware North Parks and Resorts locations. So that, in a sense, is one of the things that we bring to the table in our stewardship of the national park. There are many people here in Yosemite who have been here and worked in the park for the concessionaire even before Delaware North became a player in Yosemite. In other words, people that had worked for Yosemite Park and Curry Company stayed on when Delaware North acquired the contract in 1993. And it's not uncommon, for instance, if you go into the Ahwahnee dining room, the average tenure of the wait staff there is 20 years.
Wow.
Other folks have been here 30, some even 40 years. So there's a real love for the park and the people that work and play here.
Well, that's a perfect segue to talk about what's happening over the holidays here, because you've, as well as that, the wait staff and the professional staff that services the friends of the Ahwahnee, you also have inherited a tradition that is ongoing, and this goes way back. Why don't you talk about this very special event that's ongoing as we speak and will be continuing throughout the rest of this year?
Yosemite in the Christmas time is world-renowned for an event call it the Bracebridge Dinner, which is a spectacular three-hour Christmas pageant and a holiday tradition of grand proportion. The Ahwahnee Dining Room is transferred into the majestic hall of American author Washington Irving's legendary Squire Bracebridge character for this Yuletide feast, which is complete with a seven-course gourmet dinner, costumed characters, lively carols, dancing. It is truly a grand pageant in every sense of that phrase. One thing that many folks who are familiar with Bracebridge might not know is that the Bracebridge Dinner is no longer a lottery. About 3 years ago, we added three performances to the five, so there are now eight performances total. And as a result of that, it is now first come, first serve. So those of you who have been wanting to come and haven't had a chance because it's been on a lottery basis and sold out, we encourage you to call for reservations. It's truly a grand pageant.
Give us the dates that the dinners will be happening.
This year, the dates of the performances actually start on this coming Friday, the 15th. That's the first one. The second one will be Saturday, the 16th, then Monday, the 18th, Tuesday, the 19th, Thursday, the 21st, Friday, the 22nd, Sunday, the 24th, and concluding on Boxing Day, as they would say in England, on Tuesday, the 26th of December. Many folks will come and actually stay at the Ahwahnee. There are packages available for two and three nights, and they're all available through our phone number and website, which we'll give at the conclusion. And they're available at the Ahwahnee and also at a second lodging facility called Yosemite Lodge at the Falls, which is appropriately named due to its proximity to the base of Yosemite Falls. There are also two-night packages available at the Wawona Hotel in the south end of Yosemite, a grand hotel and National Historic Landmark as well, sort of a Victorian style. So people will come for several days, and the culminating feature, if you will, is obviously the pageant itself, the Bracebridge Dinner. It's truly magnificent. If any of your listeners have been to a Renaissance fair, imagine the grand regal version of the clothing worn by folks who attend those types of fairs, and that's what you'll see at the Bracebridge Dinner. Squire Bracebridge is essentially having a Christmas pageant for his entire royal family, who are set on a stage of regal proportion in the far west alcove of the dining room, facing the rest of the entourage, which would be the guests who are attending the Bracebridge Dinner. And these very elaborate menu entrees will come out by the individual waiters, and they'll first serve all of the royal court, these grand meal entrees, if you will. And then, one by one, a huge procession of the waitstaff will come out from the kitchen and proceed to serve approximately 300 people inside the dining room simultaneously the very same entree that's been presented to Squire Bracebridge and his royal family. So the people that are in Bracebridge Hall, if you will, because that's what we call it during the season, the dining room, actually participate in this pageant because they're eating the same foods that the royal family are eating, all the while music playing, very period Renaissance, medieval, if you will, style music, multiple influences, predominantly singing, extraordinary choral singing, which will drive you to tears at one moment because of its beauty and then have you laughing on other instances because of its comedic value. There's a lot going on, much of which I would love to tell you, but it would ruin some of the surprises for your listeners, so I encourage that they come and savor all of the delectable dishes prepared by the Ahwahnee's world-class culinary staff and witness this grand performance.
It's a splendid holiday event, something that anybody who partakes in will cherish the rest of their lives. And the good news is the fact that you're not totally booked up.
Well, there are still several performances that are not sold out. The good news is your listeners can acquire that information very easily by two means, one of which is to call the Central Reservations Office for Yosemite or to go online. The phone number for the reservations office is area code 559-253-5676, or you can simply go online at www.yosemitepark.com. www.thelefthandcolumn.com and follow the left-hand column to special events and make reservations right online.
Well, now, Kenny, the question that I have to ask you is how many of these dinners can you take before you just can't take any more? I mean, I guess you'd put on about 600 pounds if you were to participate in all of these, but what's your role in this? How do you enjoy this?
Well, as the public relations manager, I have the tedious task of attending multiple sessions, hosting both print and broadcast media here in Yosemite who are covering the event. As the saying goes, it's a dirty job, but somebody's got to do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly.
And as a musician myself, I play the slide trombone. I have great affection for this pageant. There is glorious operatic singing, which will make you run through the gamut of your emotions. And I can tell you that I'm going to be attending four of the sessions this year, of the eight, and I'm looking forward to every single one of them. I don't think I could ever get tired of this pageant. And there are a lot of folks that feel the same way, and you'd be surprised how many folks are returning guests from previous years. They share my love of this pageant.
It's a great feature to have as part of our National Park legacy. Kenny Carrs with the Awanee, I want to thank you so much for helping us appreciate a legendary, historic pageant that takes place each year in Yosemite. Thanks.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
One just may wonder what great traditions those who are alive 80 years from now will be celebrating. What from our era will those then thank us for? Kind of makes you think. And that's what we're about to do when we take a step in two directions as we try to decide which way is the future. It's coming up when your Voice of the Earth returns here on the Wild Side News.
Melting polar ice was a dirty look. Shrinking glaciers, a nudge. Then dying coral reefs pushed us, hard. Rising ocean temperatures and extreme weather, an uppercut. Then record-breaking heat waves hit us right where it hurts. Has it occurred to anyone that maybe the Earth is trying to get our attention?
We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. To find out how, go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.